Chapter 9. The Hiding Place. After cycling for some time, I stopped in a small village to have a meal and buy some provisions. I bought biscuits, tinned food, tobacco, and a few bottles of beer and whiskey. In the third shop I went into, a woman looked suspiciously at my dark glasses. "I see you've injured your eye," she said. I gave her a credible explanation, but her words made me realise that I would have to be very careful. The dark glasses made me noticeable, and people might soon begin to ask questions about the stranger in their area. It was now late in the evening and dark, but I still had to cycle back to Dorchester Station to pick up my equipment. I arrived there about midnight, very tired, and tied my equipment onto the sidecar. Then I cycled a few kilometres into a lovely valley. I found a quiet, isolated place, opened up my new sleeping bag, and lay down in it. The bag was very warm and comfortable, and I fell asleep immediately. It was after 10 when I woke up. I lay there for another 2 hours, looking up at the sky through the leaves and trying to decide when would be the best time to travel. I didn't want to be seen by many people, so between midnight and 3 in the morning seemed to be the best choice. The farmers and villagers would all be asleep during those hours. I left at midnight, cycling along an old Roman road now used only by farmers' carts. I had no light on the bicycle, so I had to travel very slowly and I lost my way several times. Finally, I decided to walk and push the bicycle. It was easier than cycling. Early in the morning, I came to a derelict cottage. I hid the bicycle and the sidecar among the plants and bricks on the old floor, and then I lay down in the long grass next to a stream. I spent the day there and didn't leave again until 11 o'clock that night. This time I cycled more quickly because I had a lot to do. I cycled across the hills until I came to a lane that went down into a valley. In the dark, I hardly recognised it. This was the place that I remembered so well, but at night it looked much smaller and narrower than I remembered. I followed this lane, crossed a field, and then came to a thick double hedge, which went downhill into the valley. Between the two hedges was another isolated, quiet lane. No one ever used it. I was returning to a very special place. I had once taken the only woman I had ever loved there. This had been her first, and also her last, visit to England, and I had chosen the Dorset countryside to give her an idea of the land that would soon be her home. I knew that I could be safe here, but I also knew that I would have to prepare the place carefully. I decided that I could only work at night because I didn't want anyone to hear or see me. It took me several nights of hard work to clear an area for myself in the lane. I cut branches from the trees and used them to make a floor that would keep me and my possessions dry. I dug out a channel where the rainwater could drain away. The ground on the left side of the lane was soft and full of rabbit holes. I worked for almost a week digging into the ground there to create a kind of burrow where I could hide if anyone came into the lane. One of the rabbit holes served me as a ventilation hole. I made a chimney by digging straight up into the centre of a thick blackberry bush that grew above my burrow. I could now make a fire at night and cook fresh food. On the right side of the lane, there was a strong tree. I cut some steps on that side of the lane and up the inner part of the tree. I spent most of the day among the branches because I had a clear view from there. I wanted to see the neighbouring farms and to make sure that I wasn't in danger. I decided to grow a beard, and as soon as it had grown, I walked into the nearest village to buy food and some camping equipment. I bought a grill, some iron bars, and a short pick. The local people didn't pay much attention to me. As far as they were concerned, I was just another holidaymaker with dark glasses camping in the hills. One night, as I was working, I saw two eyes and ears apparently attached to a black branch. When I stood up, They disappeared. I put some small pieces of meat behind the branch, and an hour later, they too had disappeared. This was how I got to know my only friend, a thin but strong black cat, who I immediately called Asmodeus. The next morning, when I had just gone to bed, he came and sat beside me, watching me carefully. Soon we were good friends. He slept with me in my burrow during the day and went hunting at night. I now had to get rid of the tandem and the sidecar. The bicycle was easy. I took it apart and covered the pieces with a pile of dead leaves, as if someone had thrown it away a long time ago. The sidecar was a bigger problem. It was so new and strong that I couldn't take it apart, and nobody would believe that someone would want to throw it away. Finally, I threw it into a small stream some distance from my hiding place, hoping that the movement of the water would destroy it. I made two more trips into the village. I bought food and paraffin for my camping stove, and I also ordered a small door from the local carpenter. The door was the exact size of the entrance to my hiding place. It had a strong handle on the inside, and on the outside it was camouflaged by leaves and branches that I had stuck on it. By the time I had finished all my preparations, winter was approaching, and I was now prepared to spend the winter where I was. I couldn't be seen, and if I was careful, I couldn't be heard. I had a supply of dry and tinned food, and I had been collecting nuts and berries in the countryside around me. Occasionally, I killed a rabbit to eat, and sometimes I got a bowl of milk from a cow in one of the fields nearby. So I had time to write my diary, but I still wasn't content. I didn't have enough to do, and I didn't know what my future would be, nor did I know what to think about the past. Had I really tried to murder the leader of that European country? Had it really only been for the sport of hunting?